This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA. Go!
37 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. With us now on the First Advantage Hotline, Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, the Rams, both football and basketball, kind of receiving a bit of a national exposure the last week or so, starting with the way too early top 25 picks on ESPN.com the other day. Already has the Rams looking pretty good, sitting at number 21. Wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, that one kind of, I guess, makes sense. I assume you're talking the basketball one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any top 25 football mentions for the Rams in several years. But I think that, they kind of belong there based on not only what we saw from this team this year, despite kind of a disappointing finish, but, you know, those guys are all back. And really, the two best players on the team are guys that were both sophomores this year, and because this year doesn't count toward eligibility, will be sophomores again next year, David Roddy and Isaiah Stevens. Then you surround them, you know, you've got Kendall Moore, Adam Thistlewood, who were stars when they came in as freshmen, you know, only juniors. It's one of the youngest, I think the ninth youngest team in college basketball this year. And to have gone out and accomplished what they did to win 20 games, you know, get into the NIT as a top seed, and really just barely miss out on the NCAA tournament by two spots, as it turns out. And then to go do what they did in the NIT and make it into the Final Four, I think that says a lot about what this team can do and really the maturity level as far as playing ability from what is really a young team. So I think the Rams have a really, really bright future, and I think that number 21 preseason ranking in the obviously way too early to tell is is meaningful. And again, you know, you've got guys transferring right and left all over the country, so every team's makeup might be a little different by the time next season rolls around. I'm literally, my computer is blowing up right now with transfer portal alerts, et cetera. But I think that's a really good sign for Colorado State, and I don't think they're going to have a whole lot of roster turnover. I think their roster is going to remain pretty intact.
Yeah, and again, it's so crazy now, the transfer portal situation. I mean, players coming and going, like you said. It's having a guy like Nico Medved that's tough when he needs to be, but extremely likable and successful. I mean, those are all things that you absolutely have to have now. But even then, coaches are probably always going to be looking over their shoulders now more than ever.
Yeah, you know, I think so. You've just got, you know, you've got coaching changes going on everywhere. That always affects roster changes. I think it's always a little bit hard to, you know, criticize players. Everybody loves to criticize the players. Well, where's their sense of loyalty? Where's this and that? Well, most coaches change schools even more often than the players these days. So
yeah.
I don't think you can really fault the players for that. They all want a chance to play and to end up in the right place where they will get that chance to play. And I don't fault them for that, but I don't see a lot of change on Colorado State's roster. I think throughout the Mountain West, we're going to see a lot of change. You have coaching changes at, you know, multiple schools, UNLV, New Mexico, San Jose State, Utah State. So yes, there will definitely be some turnover in rosters and throughout the Mountain West, and that might affect where CSU fits into the picture. But generally, I think the stable teams are the ones that are going to rise in those situations, whereas the ones undergoing a lot of turmoil and turnover are the ones that are probably going to drop. So I think the Rams are in a really good situation heading into next season at this point.
Kelly, what is the thing that concerns you with this Rams team? Because we've certainly seen the positives. They have the stars, and they have proven stars now. But what is the thing, a couple of things that you look at and say, this might keep them from achieving the ultimate level of greatness for whatever the Rams can get next year?
I think one thing that they've really got to be conscious of is I think they were a good three-point shooting team most of the year until the very end of the season, and sometimes I think that makes it easier to settle for just shooting the three when you can't get your offense really going. And I think that came back and bit them in a couple games late in the season when the threes weren't falling, that they were a little too quick to settle into let's just start launching some threes rather than doing that extra work to get the ball inside, you know, to get the ball movement, those extra passes. I think when Colorado State was playing at its best, we saw all kinds of extra passes. A lot of the three-pointers were three-pointers either coming in a quick transition opportunity when a guy got an open shot or coming on kickouts where they worked the ball around a little bit, got it inside to a Deshaun Thomas, a David Roddy, a James Moores, or even one of the guards driving inside, Isaiah Stevens, Kendall Moore, whatever, P.J. Bird, and then kicking it out to an Adam Thistlewood or something like that. And I think that is when their offense functions a lot better. They just look better that way. They keep defenses off balance that way, and I think they get better shots because they're a team that really seems to thrive on shooting in rhythm. And when they get out of rhythm, those shots don't fall. When they're in rhythm, they're a pretty high percentage shooting team all across the board, inside and out.
Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, I was checking out your depth chart. You put together a potential depth chart on the football side of things. Wanted to note this, too. CSU Rams tweeted it out yesterday from ESPN. Their most explosive college football players of 2021. Scariest pass rusher, well, that goes to Scott Patchen, number one. And then most explosive tight ends, there's Mr. McBride, Trey McBride, at number three. Again, some national exposure there. And you already put an article together last week about how great this defensive line can be. Well, ESPN's kind of taken note of that.
Yeah, I think, this was a good defensive line. Granted, they only had four games to show what they could do this past season, but those guys all as a unit, like I wrote about, they're all coming back, and really they have more talent behind them now. They've got, they brought in a transfer that's going to give them a little more depth on the inside, and then they've got just some younger guys that have been coming up behind these, Manny Jones and Ellison Hubbard and, now Scott Patchen and Toby McBride. It's a really nice veteran group across the board. And then you bring up the fact that you've got a little bit more, so you're going to keep those guys fresher. Those guys that are your big playmakers, they're not going to have to play quite as many snaps. They can be a little bit, they can go a little harder and not have to worry so much about getting worn out. And I think that makes a huge difference. I think the best defensive lines in college football have always had that, where you don't have a guy that's got to play 70 or 80 snaps a game as a DN. He's playing like 50 and can make a much bigger impact because he's so much more fresh. And I think if you start giving that kind of freedom to the Toby McBrides and Scott Patchens and Manny Jones, Ellison Hubbard, Devin Phillips, those guys are going to be even better. And so I think that's a huge, huge upside for this Colorado State team as they move forward into next season. And really, it fits with what Steve Adazio wants his team to be like. So it's a good fit all the way around. This is where he wants his team to be strong, and he's got the players that should be able to do that.
I think it's going to be really interesting, Kelly. The more you talk, the more I break into what you're putting together at the Colorado. And then, honestly, just the more I hear Adazio talk, this could be a kind of a, I'm not going to say like, electrifying brand of football, but if it's winning football, then I don't think Rams fans really care. And you noted a few different things. I know we talked about the defensive line, but going on the offensive side of the ball, talked about that offensive line perhaps being a strength for this team as well. So the more we progress, and I know we have a long way to go to get to that first game, I'm just kind of picturing this tough-nosed football that plays smash-mouth defense and moves the ball up and down the field. Are we in for a pretty good season next year, Kelly, or is it just far too soon to tell with the competition in the Mountain West?
I think it's a little early to tell. It's also, hard to tell if this O-line has developed as much as, we're told they have. But it makes sense that they would. You've got a lot of veteran guys. They've had more time together now. Almost all of them, you've got two guys that your two tackles were here before Steve Adazio came in, but they were two really solid players. Keith Williams has really developed into a good tackle. He was a little bit, just a big guy that was a little bit skinny, honestly, for a 300-pound tackle, But he's stronger now at one tackle, Barry Wesley. And then you bring in these transfers, the guys that came from Boston College that formed the middle of that unit, and then they've had this time together with Cam Reddy at center kind of leading the way. I think, You know, and it is. That was a position group Steve Adazio came up coaching. So you know he's putting a lot of attention. He spends a lot of his practice time working with that group. And his son, Louie, is the position coach there. So I think that if they get, you know, if you've got a good offensive line and a good defensive line, you can win a lot of football games regardless of what kind of talent you have elsewhere. Then, you know, you throw in the fact that you've got a Trey McBride that you can get the ball to. You've got Dante Wright. You've got a couple experienced running backs in Marcus McElroy, Ajon Vivens. And, you know, you've got some decent guys in your linebacking and secondary core on defense. That has the makings of what could be a pretty good football team.
Yeah, no question about it. As you break down position by position, you start to get this optimistic feeling, I suppose. Kelly, what are you working on for us that we can check out at the Colorado in the next couple of days?
You know, right now, just kind of some interesting stuff on with spring football kind of done and basketball wrapped up. Actually working on a story right now about the oft-forgotten CSU women's tennis team. And it's easy to forget about them this year because they've only played one match since February 20th, thanks to seven COVID-related cancellations and another weather-related cancellation. So just kind of strange what they've been through. They had, you know, they lost the second half of last season when the initial COVID shutdown came. And now this year it's just been full of starts and stops. You know, they played a match early February, got in a couple more in late February, and then they've only played one match since February 20th. But they're going up to Wyoming this weekend to play two matches, and the way the whole postponements and reschedule works, they're still not going to play Wyoming. They're going to be at the University of Wyoming to play two other Mountain West teams that are coming to Laramie, Fresno State and Nevada, who will both also play Wyoming, I presume. But Colorado State can't play Wyoming the way the whole system works out, because those matches were technically canceled because of COVID issues in the CSU program. And it sounds like it wasn't really COVID cases. There may have been one. At some point, it was more quarantines, the 14-day mandatory quarantines that the Mountain West requires if you've been identified through contact tracing before you can play a match, in addition to the testing protocols. And so they've had a few of those that have sidelined them for a long time. And just talked to one of the players, Alyssa Grijalva, today. She said, you know, it's been a very strange, weird season, but they're excited to just kind of go out and have some fun and try to finish the season on a strong note.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It continues to be pretty sticky as far as looking at these schedules and in this ongoing situation. Kelly, always appreciate it, my man, and we'll look out for you next week.
All right, we'll talk to you then.
All right, Kelly Lyle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. 12:50 the time. Do want to tell you guys about No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. I know the hooligans are into sports memorabilia. Cards, maybe you have cards you want to take over to No Limit. Have them look at them. See if they're worth anything. I have thousands of cards. I've been meaning to get in there at some point. Got a lot of Michael Jordan cards that I'm pretty sure are worthless because they were very available. But nonetheless, No Limit Collectibles. It's an awesome spot. They're in the outlets at Loveland. If you like sports memorabilia, if you like cards, Jordans, the Air Jordan shoes, and honestly, for some of the hooligans out there, I'm not one of them, but Pokemon, that's like a big deal, and they have that as well. Check them out. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. All right, we'll take a short break. When we come back, I want to get into, well, we'll get to our Thursday night special. And also Draymond Green and all this other stuff that's going on. We'll be right back. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Spring is in the air, and that means high school baseball will decorate Preps Radio on 1310 KFKA.